Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narches Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Great Reversal, How America Gave Up on Free Markets by economist Thomas Philippon, is a non-fiction work of political economy that investigates an uncomfortable puzzle why many everyday services appear to cost more in the United States, even though the country is often seen as the home of competitive capitalism. Using a mix of data-driven analysis and comparative casework, Philippon argues that the United States has gradually moved away from the pro-competition framework that once distinguished its economy. Over recent decades, many industries have become more concentrated, and dominant firms have gained the ability to raise prices, deter entry, and shape the rules that govern them. A central move in the book is to compare market outcomes and regulatory choices in the United States with those in Europe, where competition policy has often become more assertive. The purpose is not to reject markets, but to explain how weaker antitrust and regulatory capture can make markets less free in practice. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from competition to concentration in the American economy. A core topic in the book is the documented shift from broadly competitive markets toward higher concentration across a range of sectors. Philippon frames this as a reversal because the United States historically built a reputation for strong antitrust traditions and a willingness to challenge entrenched corporate power. The book argues that concentration matters not as an abstract scorecard, but because it can translate into durable market power, fewer effective rivals, more barriers to entry, and weaker pressure to invest or improve service. Rather than attributing rising corporate profits and markups solely to innovation or superior efficiency, the analysis highlights the ways firms can consolidate, coordinate, or exploit regulatory structures to protect their positions. The argument is also macro-relevant. When competition weakens, the economy can experience slower diffusion of innovation, muted productivity growth, and reduced dynamism, even when headline measures of technological progress look strong. Philippon presents the deterioration of competition as a systemic trend that shows up in prices, investment incentives, and the distribution of gains between firms and workers. The point is not that all large firms are harmful, but that concentrated structures are more likely to produce persistent power without corresponding benefits for consumers. Secondly, prices, consumer welfare, and the everyday cost of market power. Philippon connects competition policy to tangible outcomes by focusing on prices and quality in consumer-facing markets. The book opens with a simple but telling comparison. Americans often pay more for services such as mobile phone plans than consumers in parts of Europe. In Paria, that gap motivates a broader claim that market power can act like a hidden tax, raising costs without the visibility of a government levy. The book emphasizes that higher prices are only one channel. When rivalry is weak, firms may also have less incentive to expand capacity, improve reliability, or reduce complexity and switching costs. This lens keeps the analysis grounded in consumer welfare, not just firm-level metrics. It also helps explain why dissatisfaction can rise even in an economy associated with innovation, because innovation can coexist with concentrated control over key distribution channels or platforms. By comparing similar services across jurisdictions, the book argues that differences in prices and outcomes are not inevitable products of geography or culture, but can reflect policy choices that shape competitive pressure. The overall takeaway is that competition is not a slogan. It is an institutional condition that affects households through monthly bills, limited choice, and slower improvement in service. Thirdly, Europe is a benchmark for free markets in practice. One of the book's most provocative themes is the reversal of stereotypes about the United States and Europe. Where Europe has often been caricatured as overregulated and less dynamic, Philippon uses cross-Atlantic comparisons to argue that in important sectors, Europe has built more effective competition regimes and achieved lower consumer prices. The comparison is not presented as a blanket endorsement of European economic policy. Instead, it functions as a test if similar technologies and firms operate in both regions. Why do outcomes differ? The book uses this contrast to highlight the practical meaning of market design, including how regulators manage entry, interoperability, and oversight, and how antitrust authorities approach mergers and exclusionary conduct. The European example supports the broader claim that free markets require active maintenance. In this framing, stronger enforcement can be pro-market rather than anti-business, because it prevents incumbents from rewriting the rules to insulate themselves from rivals. The book also encourages readers to distinguish between regulation that protects competition and regulation that protects incumbents. By using Europe as a reference point, Philippon pushes back against complacency and argues that the United States can learn from institutions it once believed it had already surpassed. Fourthly, lobbying, political influence, and regulatory capture, Philippon devotes sustained attention to the political economy of declining competition. The book argues that market outcomes cannot be understood without considering how firms shape the policy environment through lobbying, campaign finance, and the broader influence industry. Over time, these forces can weaken antitrust enforcement, tilt rulemaking, and reduce the capacity or willingness of regulators to challenge dominant players. This is not framed as a partisan story, but as an institutional drift in which concentrated economic power becomes concentrated political power, reinforcing itself. The book presents this feedback loop as central to the great reversal when leading firms can influence enforcement priorities and the design of regulations. Competition erodes even without explicit collusion. The discussion also highlights why standard economic narratives that focus only on technology or globalization can miss a key mechanism. Politics determines how markets are structured, which mergers are allowed, how entry is regulated, and what behavior is treated as exclusionary. By emphasizing capture, Philippon reframes the debate. The problem is not markets versus government, but whether public institutions are capable of protecting open competition against private efforts to close it. The implication is that restoring competition requires political reforms alongside technical antitrust adjustments. Lastly, what a pro-competition agenda could look like. The book is diagnostic, but also prescriptive in broad strokes, arguing that the United States should renew its commitment to competitive markets through stronger antitrust and better designed regulation. Philippon does not frame the solution as rejecting capitalism or embracing blanket regulation. Instead, he argues for a return to trust-busting principles, preventing mergers that substantially reduce rivalry, scrutinizing conduct that blocks entry, and ensuring regulators have the authority and resources to act. The pro-competition agenda is also presented as pro-growth and pro-fairness. When new firms can enter and challenge incumbents, innovation can spread more widely, investment incentives improve, and workers may gain bargaining power from a more dynamic labor market. The book also stresses that enforcement should match modern market structures, including sectors where network effects, data, and platform control can create durable dominance. A key practical message is that the health of markets depends on rules that keep them contestable. In this sense, government intervention is not the opposite of free markets, but a condition for them, because without credible oversight, incumbents can convert economic success into lasting gatekeeping. The policy vision is to make markets open again so that efficiency gains and innovation translate into lower prices and broader opportunity. In conclusion, The Great Reversal is best suited to readers who want a data-oriented explanation of why many American industries feel less competitive than the national mythology suggests. Policymakers, journalists, business leaders, and students of economics and public policy will gain the most, but informed general readers can also follow the argument because it is anchored in concrete comparisons and consumer-facing examples. The intellectual benefit is a clearer framework for separating pro-market policy from pro-incumbent policy. Philippon argues that the relevant debate is not capitalism versus regulation, but whether rules and enforcement keep markets contestable. Practically, the book equips readers to evaluate mergers, sector-specific regulations, and lobbying claims with sharper questions. Does this change lower barriers to entry, increase choice, and pressure firms to invest, or does it entrench existing power? Compared with other popular books on inequality or corporate dominance, this one stands out for making cross-country benchmarking central to the case. Using Europe as a real-world contrast that challenges assumptions about where freer markets actually exist, it also links competition to everyday welfare through prices and service quality, not just abstract measures of efficiency. The result is a focused argument for renewing antitrust and rebuilding institutions that protect competition for ordinary consumers and workers. If you would like to support Thomas Philippon, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.